we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards to be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 6th of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Power Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello and welcome to the Northern Power Women Podcast. My name is Simone and this is our Path to Power season, where every week I am chatting to some amazing change makers and trailblazers who are truly making a difference in their communities by challenging the norm and creating those more inclusive cultures that we all want more of. And there is so much every week to learn from my amazing guests. And I always take away great inspiration, top tips. So I'm always scribbling down, which obviously you won't see on the podcast, but I always like just scribbling down some of those great top tips and great sound bites. I always think that we should have a range of podcast related guest tote bags. I think that always come out of this. And this week, I'm looking forward to chatting to Jo Larby, who is a tech architecture specialist at Accenture with a passion for creating user-centric solutions whilst promoting initiatives that celebrate individuality and equality. Welcome from the fantastic Newcastle today. Jo, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for the great introduction. It's nice to be part of a Northern Power Women special as such.
Oh, I know. I love it. I think every week, you know, we host the podcast, and it's a privilege for me to be able to have different conversations from different people, you know, different stages of their career, different industries, you know, different stories. Everyone has a different journey and a different story. And I think the more that we can share the stories, the better, really. I think that's always my plan anyway. So let's talk about, you know, there's always a lot of conversations around working in tech and women in tech. Why in 2023 do you think we are still at such a low number? I think it was about 17% of people working in tech. It's bonkers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a growing industry. We are moving, and you can see that. So I work with a lot of apprentices and sort of going to schools, and we are seeing more numbers of, you know, girls, women, you know, moving to tech. We've also got a lot of career changers that are considering tech as an option. I think it's one of those things that almost needs to filter into the system a little bit more. So we've done a lot of outreach. People are on the path, and it's almost just waiting for that effect to kind of follow forth into the industry. The number's still quite low. Maybe there's still a little bit of stigma around what the tech industry is and what that involves, and a bit of publicity around what roles there are and the diverse skill set that you need to be in tech, I think is probably going to help us in the long term to get more women into the industry.
I think it's individuals like you, Jo, to be honest. I think the more that we can storytell and have individuals like yourself talking about what they do on a day-to-day basis, I think that takes away sometimes. I think we talk a lot about STEM and women in tech. And actually, I think there's something really to be said about actually bringing it to life and, you know, explaining, you know, what does, in fact, tell us, what does a tech architecture specialist do? What do you do?
It's a bit of a mix of quite a lot, actually. So every day is different. And I know everyone says that in every industry. But my core functional areas, I guess, so I'll start from the beginning. I started as a developer. I really enjoy doing front end. I like being able to do a change and it fails and I can see it quite clearly on the screen going, yeah, that looks broke, and being able to do that fixing. Sort of over time, my role has evolved. I've learned that sort of design area. I've learned how to do the development and the test. And now my role is looking at sort of that full system and how all of the different areas integrate, but also how we make things as reusable and accessible and all of the abilities around that to make the best product that we can and keep innovating on that so that we continue to move forward as the tech moves along as well.
And you started as a developer. What attracted you into the actual, into the sector?
So it's a strange one. So I didn't actually want to do tech initially. Back when I was at school, I wanted to do more graphic design. Turns out I wasn't very good at art. I then decided I was going to do more of a STEM subject, like a biology chemistry style role. That didn't work out either. Subject wise at school, the grades weren't great. And I just happened to have an ICT A-level as an option because I thought that's going to be useful. And then I did a business A-level as well. And the two aligned quite nicely. When it came to going to uni, again, didn't know what to do, but I had the skills to do a computer science degree. So I went to uni, did the computer science degree on a bit of a whim. Said, that sounds like something I could do. I'll get into it. Once I got into it, the first 2 years passed and I was like, oh, I've got a year left. And it's a bit daunting because I don't actually know if this is for me yet. And I did a placement year at Accenture. And that helped me kind of find my feet and understand the tech sector a little bit more. And once I really got into that, I realized, yeah, this is for me. There's a variety of different roles. I can, you know, try lots of different things and don't have to just be a siloed developer doing front end. I could do, you know, more innovative things. I could do back end. I could go in straight into design or step out and do more project management. There's a whole range of different roles. And that's sort of what got me into staying into tech as well. So it wasn't the career I'd thought I'd have, but I definitely wouldn't change it.
And you talked about that you're still at, you're at Accenture, you know, and you did your placement year there. I'm wondering, you know, if you hadn't have done that placement year, how would you have kind of found out about, you know, all these, you know, the different roles and the different disciplines that go on? I think it's challenging, isn't it, for people to find sort of a roadmap, or, you know, you talk about, you know, it's brilliant because you talk about going into schools and going into B, you are a visible role model, right? You know, this is what someone in tech looks like. It looks like, you know, so what advice would you give to people who haven't had the benefit of a placement year to actually look under the bonnet of what an Accenture is and what somebody in, you know, and a tech role is?
Yeah, I think talk to people. Like, don't feel afraid to reach out to people on LinkedIn. Like, people might not reply straight away, but just talk and like find out from someone, ask them for a cuppa. You know, I'll take anyone up that offers me a good cup of tea and a biscuit. Sort of as well as that, looking at job descriptions. So job descriptions is a weird one, because sometimes you can look at a junior role and it's got everything in it and you go, well, how am I going to hit all of that? But then it gives you some like targets of what maybe you could explore more. So if there's particular technologies or there's certain buzzwords in there, what does that actually mean? And doing a little bit of Googling on that gives enough of a high level background that you can go, actually, that looks exciting, or maybe that's not for me and I'll try something else that's on that. Or yeah, the business analyst role there doesn't seem to fit the technical side that I want to be. I need to pick more of a developer role, that type of thing. It just helps to guide you a little bit. But there are so many different roles. And I think that's the misunderstood bit about technology, is it's not just coding. There is a bit of everything and a bit something for everyone, really.
It is. It's not just lab coats and drones, is it? You know, it's about problem solving, you know, and I think, so, you know, as we move for, you know, on and through sort of through time, is that every role is digital, right? Every role has got some form of digital in there. And I know inclusivity is something you're massively passionate about, and, you know, I hate that. I feel like I really don't want to ask this question in 2023, but, you know, have you felt your gender has ever made it harder for you, you know, sort of navigating your way through the tech industry, so to speak?
Yeah. It's unfortunate that I have to say yes on that. So again, when I went to uni, my course was split. So we had about 150 ballpark figure. And on that, there was only about 10 women on that course. And that was just a general computer science related degree. You know, if we're seeing those sorts of numbers across the UK, there's the reason that we've only got that 17%, you know. As I was on that course, there was you know, you're quite immature when you start uni. Like, there are going to be things that are brought up, but even getting that placement, yeah, when I secured that role, the related comments were, oh, you've only got that because you're a woman. You know, they're trying to hit their figures. You get that, and you get a bit of imposter syndrome when you actually join, because you go, is it because I'm a woman, or is it because I can do the role? So there has been that along the way, especially at the start of my career. I think going now into sort of, I've been at Accenture about 6 years now. I've had a lot of role models within the company. I'm quite lucky that it's quite an inclusive nature. So I've been able to not feel that so much, but I can appreciate why in some maybe smaller or more dated companies, why that might still be an issue, and why there's a little bit of hesitancy of, you know, a woman stepping into a role, especially those that are slightly higher up, because it's sort of, what do I know compared to my male counterparts? It's finding the balance. But I'll be honest, I think nowadays I do see a lot less of that, it was just positive.
And you know, you chose to stay, or you had the opportunity after your placement year to go back, finish your degree. You've had this sort of challenging time, you know, sort of at the start of uni, where you've got this sort of, oh, you're only getting this role because you're a woman and all this kind of stuff. But what was it that drew you back? What was the flavour that you got? You talk about culture, but how do you bring that culture to life? Talk to us about what the culture was that, you know, sort of attracted you to go, you know what, I'm ready. This is my first career step. That's where I'm off.
Yeah. So I think at the time, I didn't know. I think tech's for me, I've done the placement. Yeah, I've stayed on. I've done a few different roles. Kind of what's next? And I'll be honest, I was like, oh, well, secure something and then I can work it out from there. But looking back on it now, it was almost like a guarantee that I was going to, you know, that's what I wanted to do. And as a company, the way that they've sort of secured things, so, you know, having those role models, having leadership that have, you know, both women and men that you can sort of speak to and hear about their careers and how they've learned, and being able to be signposted quite well. There's various initiatives that they do to make sure it's an inclusive nature. But then also, you know, I've had senior developers that really like helped to mentor me through that final year of university to help me get over the line. As you know, it's going to be stressful, but having that support and knowing like, actually, like, we are almost like a bit of a family, whether or not we want to admit it at times. But I think there's that element. There's also, though, the sense of, like I said, I work with a lot of apprentices nowadays. And when I work with them and, you know, see their passions, it kind of brings me back to what I was when I first started, and kind of how can we help them, and seeing even they're doing outreach with different charities and different groups to encourage more girls to think about tech careers. So there's a lot as a company that they do, but as an individual, I think it is that, just the nature of being able to rely on anyone and having your male counterparts being supportive of that as well.
And I think that, you know, male allyship is so key, and it's great that, you know, sort of the culture has allowed you to have your voice heard. But equally, I know this is something you're really passionate to make sure that every voice is heard. So how have you sort of taken your personal, I suppose, agency to make this happen, especially when people think, oh, gosh, you know, people don't want to hear my voice, or, you know, it's not about me. It's always, you know, no one wants to know what I do. I only do this, or I just do this. How do you convince people to kind of lean in and have their voice heard?
I think it's just about taking part. So initially getting people in the room, you know, I was lucky enough that as a placement student, they went, oh, well, Jo's just here to learn. We'll just pull her into this meeting and she can take some notes and just try and understand what's going on. So many different acronyms, you know, trying to be like, I don't know what these characters mean and I've got half the characters wrong, but just as a learning piece. But then being able to ask the questions afterwards. So you don't understand something, go and speak to that person, find out what it is. If you're interested in it, how can you be more involved? I do a lot in terms of what we deem as like side of desk. So I do a lot with charities. One of the key bits is, you know, we can struggle just with that communication, the confidence to open that initial conversation. So finding alternative initiatives like charity work where we do outreach with different charities or volunteer schemes where you can get to know different people, that type of thing, so that they gain confidence in a more subtle manner. So when it comes to the work, they're not afraid to ask the questions and to do the, you know, everything that's almost second nature to those that might have been at the company a while, and they kind of know that they're part of that inclusive family where they can just, there's no stupid question, it's just continue and ask what you need to ask, really.
And you know what, it's brilliant to hear this, because I always, you know, it's that relatability, I think, that you bring as well. You know, I think that relatability, that someone can see you only so many years ahead of where they are and where they've been, and you're opening that door. Often we think that privilege of doing that is for, you know, sort of further down your career. And I, you know, I believe wholeheartedly that it is absolutely not. I remember being in the Navy, I've probably talked about this before, and I was working in the careers office after I'd been in there 18 months, because unfortunately I lost my father, and I worked in, and I went out to visit the schools, and I loved it. And you feel at the time, you know, I have nothing, what do I have to give? But actually it's starting a conversation, isn't it? And listening, I think. So I think being that relatable role model at only so many, you know, years in, I think is so, so massively important. I think, and, you know, me personally think that's how we shift the 17% as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been so, sometimes I forget I've only been here for like in the industry for sort of that 6 years. But then I think actually like I've not explored everything yet. And I think that's the key bit, is like I've seen my bit and I've seen how much it's changed in the time that I've been here, which is quite exciting, because it means that sort of going forward, there's so much more that we can unlock. Technology moves so quickly, as does the sector, as does, you know, the companies, the people. But in terms of getting more like women, whether that be at that apprentice level or whether that's sort of as a career changer, it's, you know, we all bring different softer skills, and we need those in the industry.
And finally, you've had some great success. You know, you're on our future list this year. Congratulations. And also a winner of the Tech Women 100 as well last year. How do you build on that success to help others, Jo?
So I've been trying to push myself. I don't normally talk to people that I don't know. So I'm even though I've said the whole time, talk to people, ask the questions, I'm one of those, I'm a bit introverted in that sense. I don't often go and speak to people as much as I should. So I'm trying to be a little bit more open. I've signed up, so I've been lucky enough to be part of the mentorship program with Northern Power Women. But I've also signed up for the Tech Up as part of Durham University, so I can kind of give back a little bit more. Within my sort of role at Accenture, of sort of helping be a people lead, which means you sort of help shape someone's career and see what interests them and how they can grow. And I think one of the things that I'm saying it here because it's a first point of call and it means I've got to do it, but I am considering starting up a bit of a YouTube channel with the basics of programming, just to try and get more people into it and kind of break down any of those myths of it is really hard or we can't do this because of whatever. It's not. It's to try and do something that allows people to slowly edge into the industry and realise it's not as scary as what they might think it is.
Well, there you go. You've said it out loud now, Jo. Yeah, you're going to do it. I'm a firm
it's
fan
been
of
announced.
That. It's manifested now, isn't it? It's manifested. Jo, it's brilliant. I love, like, you know, sort of, again, some more fabulous phrases for our tote bags out there. You know, I think there's something out there. And it's interesting. We talked quite a lot about introverts recently on the podcast as well. But I think that being more open and just, you know, talk to strangers, if you like, in a good way. And, I'd love to get you on one of our Power Up networking sessions that we run every month virtually, because that is about having conversations. It's about, it's virtual, so we can't quite do the biscuit, but you can bring a brew. But Jo, I'm really, really grateful and thank you so much. You're such a fantastic role model, such a great advocate for the industry, also for Accenture. So thank you so much and congratulations. Onwards and upwards to you. You're absolutely inspiring.
Great. Thank you very much.
Oh, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please do leave us comments. We love to hear from you, because actually what our amazing guests have to say, I know do make a difference. So please let us know, because we, I get FOMO if not. So please do join in the conversation on all our socials at North Power Women on Twitter and Northern Power Women on all the other ones. And whether or not you're joining us on our mission of professional or personal development and empowering each other, then please do get connected and stay involved on our digital hub, wearepower.net. Thank you so much for joining us. My name's Simone. This is the Northern Power Women Podcast, a What Goes On Media production.